Route 616, you're home for all things Marvel main continuity. Hello, everybody. We are finally back. I know we've been quiet for a couple weeks, but there's reasons why. Back with episode 65. Here with the person that's almost let Dan live. Dan live after them, and Bill. Say hi, Bill.
Hello.
And then we have the guy who looks like a fill-in from early 2000s, late 2010s Wildcats comics. It's Dan.
Okay.
Alternatively, the 2023 Paul White of the podcast.
I'm pretty sure Dan's knees still work.
Fairly.
Let's see if he puts
clean,
in a video over
clean
though.
Clean living prevails.
Clean living. Yeah, sure.
So so where do we want to start? I kind of want to bring something up here without being a prick.
I'm scared.
Is it Everton?
No, not yet. We'll come to that in a couple of seconds. But I'm sure you both know the Marvel's movie hit theaters to a resounding thud.
They had a movie coming. I'm just
yeah, no, I know, right? But it was an interesting response from the companies and the critics this time that I hadn't seen before. I'm actually kind of sort of glad they did this.
They're acknowledging superhero fatigue, which is desperately needed.
They are, and they're not wrong. Superhero fatigue is a real thing. I think people are just getting a little tired of these because they're not doing anything new or unique or different. So it is getting boring.
I don't think there's been anything unique in this entire phase. It's just been more of the same.
Yeah. But what...
I would give No Way Home a little credit on uniqueness because of the...
No, that's not part of the MCU, then.
Yes, the Spider-Man, the Tom Holland ones are.
Not according to them.
You're thinking of the other Spider-Man.
So neat.
The Tom so Hollands neat. Are.
But anyway,
the Tom Hollands are MCU, Dan.
Not according to the MCU.
MCU, they are officially part of it.
I have been learning over the last week all about all of this stuff. And here's the lowdown. The studios are finally fighting back. They called out specifically Echo Chamberlain, the Critical Drinker, and a whole bunch of the loudmouth right-wing fanboys who try and review bomb these movies. They called them out. They called them out by name.
Nice.
Right. And I hate to be the one to say it, but it's about bloody time.
Yeah, they're going hard on Spider-Man 2 now, the video game too.
Yeah, now there were the usual excuses. Oh, it's, you know, it's all, you know, men, you know, women haters.
It's
and this,
woke.
That. It's too woke and all the usual bullshit. You know, but the studios, you know, gave the usual excuses. Y'all just, you know, we don't like women. But like I say, they called out some of these review bombers who, you know, love to hate, you know, anything that Disney, Marvel, you know, Star Wars does.
Yeah.
So they're always coming up with excuses to dislike it. And so I did something I didn't think I was going to do. I watched The Marvels. I didn't like it. I didn't hate it.
Well, a lot of people didn't. It's in the top five worst rated MCU movies on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, but I didn't hate it. Is the thing. It was a thing. I don't know what they were all so angry about. It's not that bad. It's not great, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, from what I understand, its issues are just that it's the same.
Yeah, it's just more of the same. Like, they didn't do anything. It's like Loki, they're doing something different and fun and unique and new and silly. And
yeah, and people like Loki.
Yeah, and it's great. I think it's really, I don't know what the problem is. The movie's not.
I think Bill had an important point to the.
Yeah, but it's a good solid 5 out of 10, right? It's not horrible. And it kind of brought to mind that, and to be fair, I'm not a big fan of Brie Larson. I've seen her in many different films and franchises, and she always plays the exact same character in every single one of them. Her range is
Let's be fair here. Brie Larson has at least twice the range of your average bag of cement.
She does, but only because you can't throw a bag of cement. Okay. But again, I think there, you know, I legitimately, there is superhero fatigue. There is. I understand that. But when you look at what they did with the film, the only real crime in this movie is that the tone is all over the place.
And that's every Marvel movie.
Yeah, they're dead serious, and then it's all giddy, giggly, funny stuff. It's just back and forth and back and forth. And
the last movie that had a really consistent tone to it was probably Winter Soldier.
I'm going to say Black Widow.
I haven't seen Black Widow because I stopped after Endgame. I was ready to be done.
Yeah. No, but Black Widow's tone was very consistent throughout the whole film. There were some good yuck it up moments.
Yeah.
But they didn't play it as a farce.
Yeah, of course, Black Widow was written back around Winter Soldier because that's when it was supposed to come out.
Yeah, and it should have come out.
So effectively, it's still Winter Soldier, Black Widow era. It's just Black Widow didn't get released for a few years.
Yeah, but they're saying this one's as bad as Love and Thunder and what is it, Quantumania and Multiverse of Madness. And I don't agree. I don't think it's that horrible. I mean, it's not a great film, but it's not that bad. You know, it's not that terrible. It's not Quantumania. It's not Love and Thunder. It's better than they are, in my opinion.
I think one of its big issues, honestly, too, is the amount of commitment necessary to even go into it.
Bingo. Bingo.
Because the three leads come out of the Marvel TV shows.
That's probably part of the reason it's rated so lowly.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, it's a massive commitment to other existing media just to know who the characters are.
Yeah.
You get to watch WandaVision, you get to watch Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, I don't even know who one of the three leads is.
Monica Rambeau.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, that's Monica Rambeau?
Yeah, it's Monica Rambeau. Yeah. Debuted in WandaVision, spoiler.
I knew she debuted in WandaVision, but I didn't know who the character was supposed to be because I haven't watched those shows. And I see the previews, and they just expect me to know who this character is.
Yeah. The old Captain Marvel / Ms. Marvel, and she's Proton.
No, little Ms. Marvel, the little one, Kamala Khan. She's actually great in this film. Yeah, she's great in this film. Like, she's one of the few saving graces of the film because she does a fantastic job. She obviously had a lot of fun with it, and they don't really assassinate her character at all.
Well, the actress is a huge fan, too, of the
actual character. Yeah, she basically is Kamala in real life.
Yeah, but, I mean, she did a phenomenal job. I thought she did great. And if you like cats, there's a couple of very amusing scenes for you there. If you like Bollywood, there's some amusing scenes for you there. But I just want to put out there, you know what? I'm glad that studios are calling out some of these review bombers.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of them scrambling for reasons and excuses to call out movies simply because their manhood is threatened by them.
He's old, he's tired, and he works with fucking children.
No, but it's getting ridiculous. I mean, you know, tuck your nuts back in and suck it up and just, you know, let other people have a good time.
If they start tucking, people might get the wrong idea.
Well, I figure that's what they do on their own anyway. Yeah. No, but I mean, you know, just stop trying to ruin it fun for everybody simply because, you know, you didn't have a good time. Don't take your ball and go home. Just go home.
Leave the ball well, you know what they say. When you're accustomed to privilege, equality feels like oppression.
It is. And you're right. You're absolutely right. And they're, I think, a really good example.
Tired of these 2002 Steve Austins.
Because all of a sudden, only 38 of the show movies, instead of all 40 of them, have characters that look and sound like them.
Yeah.
In the lead.
Yeah. And again, the studios are, you know, always scrambling for excuses. you know, as to why the movies don't do well or whatever. But, you know, it's like at any point in time you sit there and go, yeah, well, guess what? Wonder Woman did really freaking well.
Yeah, I think the acknowledgement of superhero fatigue is big because hopefully they'll slow down.
It's huge. And apparently Marvel's only got one major film coming out next year.
Well, and I bet it'll do better.
There's talk that there's probably going to be a lot of course correction because of the whole Kane actor under fire for his legal stuff.
Yeah. So honestly, not anchoring an entire several phase arc around Kang seems like a good idea to begin with.
Well, I saw the trailer for Madam Web as well.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not...
Holy fuck, I forgot that was a fan that was coming.
I'm not that familiar just blew my mind. With the title. Like, I knew it existed, but I never read it. I've never heard anything about it. But the trailer didn't look that bad.
Madam Web was a Spider-Man.
It's part of the mentor.
But it looked like I only knew about that because I saw a comment about all the whining about Miles Morales not being Spider-Man today that struck me because Madam Web is supposed to bring Ben Reilly in.
Oh, okay. And that means nothing to me. So
he's Peter's clone that becomes the Scarlet Spider.
Okay.
The comment was that all the people whining that Peter Parker is Spider-Man and Miles Morales is Miles Morales, I bet they won't say Ben really isn't Spider-Man.
Oh, really? Why not? I'll say it right now. Ben Ridley, really, whatever.
I say Riley. That's Riley. How I've always known it, Ben Riley. Riley.
I've only ever seen it written. I could very well be pronouncing it wrong.
Goddamn misogynistic bullshit.
But that's the only reason I remembered Madam Web even existed.
Yeah, anyway.
I saw the Kraven trailer.
Yeah, I saw that too. It didn't really do
It looks anything. Awful.
it was not what I was expecting it to be.
But it never was going to be. Their direction is all fucked up for the character. But it's whatever. It could be all right. So. I mean,
I'm skeptical about a movie anchored by Kraven.
They're leaning into ultra-violence for the air rating.
Yeah, he's a good antagonist, but I can't see him carrying a story on his own.
Well, no, he needs to,
it's the same actor who played Quicksilver, so...
He needs to kill himself in the pursuit of after he hunted Spider-Man.
But even there, the protagonist was still Spider-Man. Kraven was just the villain.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't told from Kraven's perspective. I don't think story from Kraven's perspective would be good.
If you're going to do Kraven in anything, that's the story you should be doing. It's Kraven's last hunt. Why would you do anything else?
The problem is, how do you start with Kraven's last hunt? Who's going to care about his last hunt before they know who he is? I think you do, a Sinister Six or something and bring him into that, and then...
But also, this isn't directly tied in with the Tom Holland shit anyway, so...
No, but any... Kraven movie, you need to bring him in something else and make people care about him before you give him his last hunt.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, anyway.
And a solo film about him is not the way to do it. Because Kraven is not an interesting character except for the fact that he's a relentless hunter of the protagonist.
The only thing that might save it some is that the actor is brilliant, so.
He's not a bad actor.
I think he's really good.
Right. He didn't do terrible as Quicksilver.
So. I mean, I've also watched a lot of American Horror Story, so by a lot.
When you say he's Quicksilver, which Quicksilver?
From the good one.
X-Men Quicksilver or...
Oh, wait, the MCU one?
Yeah, he's the MCU.
Oh, never mind. I take everything I say back. I thought you meant X-Men
one. Gunned down saving Hawkeye.
Yeah, okay. I take the last 30 seconds back then.
Yeah, same actor.
That's the Quicksilver I thought you meant, but...
Yeah.
Due to complicated movie stuff, it's always good to clarify which one.
I thought the other one. I thought you meant the good one.
The good one's even less Kraven-y, though. Like, he's good, but he doesn't look like Kraven. He looks like a scrawny, skater kid.
Yeah, no, he looks like an American Horror Story character.
Slightly like Kraven.
Yeah, this one at least I could see being able to pass as Kraven.
Yeah, as opposed to Skater Boy.
When I saw the trailer, I saw 15-second clip of the truth.
It didn't really do anything for me. But what right now, what Marvel is doing is they're literally banking on Deadpool 3.
They're desperate for Deadpool 3 to save them.
All the chips out of the pockets.
Oh, yeah, there's only one on made. Black. It's only that next year because Captain America got pushed back.
Yeah, well, there's also rumors Robert Downey Jr. Is going to come back into the MCU.
There's rumors that like all the original ones are, but
they need to keep Tony dead.
Couldn't agree more.
They're reshooting some of Captain America in like February or March, so that's why it's got pushed back.
I think the lack of reaction to Ironheart from the Black Panther film has convinced them that maybe they're just starting to go off in the wrong direction.
They're going off with the solution is to not just do the same thing with the old characters again. The solution is to actually
make you
have
care
a
about
plan.
The new ones. Well, the solution
you have
is
to have a story that people actually
character.
Care about, not just
the first three phases had an overarching story planned out from the beginning that gave it a cohesion and let the movies. And they took their time. They let the movies introduce people.
But there's you're not wrong. Okay. But the point is more that with the very first real MCU movie, Iron Man, if a year earlier people had said, oh, Iron Man's going to be the big thing, it's going to create the Marvel Universe, most comic book fans would have went, what?
Yeah.
Iron Man? Are you serious? Because Iron Man would not have been the superhero.
No.
Most comic book fans would have went, no, okay, not Iron Man.
They used him because they didn't own the rights to the good ones.
Yeah, but the script was strong enough, the directing, the acting, the production values, everything was strong enough.
Yeah.
And the character development was well written enough to make you care about the character, not the superhero.
Yeah.
Make you care about the character.
And
you
that's what they've forgotten. Now it's just the superhero.
Now they're just dumping in these generic actors who just are suddenly magically super, and there's zero character development.
Yeah.
They're making the same mistake DC made.
Yeah, they're just throwing stuff at the wall, trying to get it to stick.
Throwing it out there.
They have no plan.
People will like this one. Maybe they'll like this one. You know,
they have regressed in DC.
Yeah, and it's not them using obscure characters, or not even obscure. Ironheart's become fairly prominent. But it's not them using the new characters. That's the problem.
Yeah.
They made the fucking Guardians of the Galaxy stars. No one cared about those characters before that movie.
You're right. You know, who cared about Quill?
Yeah, and Quill was the prominent one. They had a talking tree, an anthropomorphic raccoon. Like, literally, Groot was a villain from a 1950s from a 1950s sci-fi anthology. And they made it work. So they could have totally taken Ironheart and made people care.
Yeah, but
they just didn't. They're just like, oh, here's another character you'll recognize if you read the comics.
Ironheart rules in the comic.
Yeah, but there's no character development in the film.
Yeah, because they expect the comics to do the heavy lifting. They're like, you'll know who this is from the comics and you'll pop.
Look at the amount of character development and effort they put into character development for Gamora and Nebula.
Yeah, they wrote them for people that don't know who they are.
Right, but they let them grow through the first two films.
At least Loki season 2 is supposed to be really good.
To a point where you cared about them by the third film.
Yeah.
By the time they showed up in the Avengers movies, you actually cared about Nebula. You cared what was happening to her, and her turn to becoming nicer, right? Although they take her story arc in a completely different direction than they're supposed to, you know, as opposed to the comics. You know,
but
you
that's
actually
fine.
Care about her. Yeah, it's like whatever. But the last, say, 4 or 5 movies are movies where you're beginning to wonder if the people who were writing them ever actually read a comic. You know, it's like, have you actually read any of these comics? Do you have any concept of what makes them popular? You know, if you If you
I think
want
somebody to... read some stuff for Doctor Strange. I just don't think they read the right stuff.
I'm
pretty sure Taika Waititi read Love and Thunder. I don't.
No,
think he
I
under-
don't think he did.
I don't think, he understood why it was good, but I think he read it.
From what I've heard, I don't think he did. Because I've read the fucking.
Well, okay, maybe he read the Wikipedia synopsis.
Yeah,
maybe he read the Wikipedia synopsis, but he had an idea of how that story arc went.
It doesn't sound like the story I was looking for from that movie. I still have to watch it.
Well, I mean, Taika Waititi shouldn't have directed the story you were looking for from that movie.
No,
that was a dark story arc. Taika Waititi is not the right director for a dark, serious story.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. The movie.
He
so
was
bad.
Thinking that Ragnarok was actually good, except the difference is Ragnarok was like a completely invented story for DMCU, where he could just give it whatever tone he wanted, and it could go because it wasn't working against source material. But
with
then
the loosest ties to Planet Hall.
Yeah, like it was its own thing completely. They added in stuff from comics, but. It wasn't a comic story.
No.
And so his tone could work for it because he could make it whatever he wanted. But to take an actual comic arc, you kind of need to match the tone of the arc.
You do, but I mean, the whole everything since Endgame, and that's not to say that, you know, everything before that was good, but everything since Endgame has just been falling further and further down a very deep hole. And the TV shows, I'm not willing to commit myself to watch any more of this crap on television. You know, I'll continue to watch the movies if they pique my curiosity, but...
You're not going to watch Echo?
Not really.
I've heard Echo actually sounds promising. It sounds like they're getting back to the Netflix-style Marvel shows.
Oh, goody. That's going to make it all better. Although I did something else over the last 2 weeks that I wasn't expecting to do. I watched 2019 series Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah?
Quite a bit better than I was led to believe.
Yeah, it was supposed to be really good. It got its balls chopped off.
It did. It was... I was really, really surprised.
That got a cult following.
Oh yeah, it was dark. Like it was not something you're gonna let your kids watch, but it was quite good. Like for me, I went into it thinking this is gonna suck. It lasted one season. It's gonna be crap. And I came out of it going, holy fuck, what did I just watch? It was
one
it was
season cut hardcore. Short, by the way.
Yeah, it was hardcore. So anybody watching this, I highly recommend you watch it. Right? I was really impressed. I had no idea they'd even done this. Right? And yeah, it's good. If you get a chance, guys, watch it. You will definitely enjoy it. It's exactly what it needed to be.
Don't watch it, you'll want more.
Well, yeah, there's that. You will want more. You know, if you do watch it, you will want there to be a second season.
How I felt watching Agent Carter.
Yeah. Well, beyond that, shall we go off to the story about Everton? Just completely change topics here while Bill tries to catch his breath.
I mean, we're still talking about monumental collapses due to hubris, so...
Yeah. Well, Everton got their 10-point deduction. They're down to the bottom of the league.
Yeah, 4 points in the season so far.
Yep. And who's next? Not Tottenham. Not Man City. There was another team that was being looked at. Right
Chelsea's
now.
Being bandied about oh, for it.
Yeah, Chelsea may get a deduction, too.
They're not going to hit Chelsea if they don't hit City, I don't think.
Well,
People have been throwing Newcastle around, but I can't figure out what Newcastle is supposed to have done.
Something a couple of years ago when the new owners took over. I think there was an FFP violation there too, financial fair play violation. When they first took over, I think a bit more money changed hands than was supposed to or something. There's some kind of skullduggery going on. So Chelsea, Newcastle, and Man City are all being investigated. And Newcastle probably won't go anywhere. Chelsea probably won't go anywhere. Man City, it could be another 2 years before there's a final decision.
Yeah, and I have a sneaking suspicion they're not going to do anything to City, because unlike Everton, it doesn't just mess with the Premier League. It starts affecting Champions League berths, and they don't like to change those.
Yeah, because they're not going to change Champions League title winners. They're not going to take away trophies and rings from players. They're just not going to do it. In the same breath that they're not going to suddenly turn around and give Liverpool, the Premier League title 2 years after the fact.
Yeah.
They're not suddenly going to give Klopp a ring and say, here you go, buddy, you won. Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard that the three teams that got relegated last year are suing Everton now.
Oh, I did not hear that.
It just came out an hour or two ago. They're suing Everton for like £30 billion.
Yeah, how the fuck's ever supposed to be that?
Well, I mean, they filed suit. This doesn't mean it's going to go anywhere, and I don't think they're going to win.
No. But I mean, although if they get the $30 million, they might have enough to buy Man U.
Yeah, if the Glazers ever decide to sell.
Yeah. Well,
actually, we're going for 45.
Well,
they've already turned down like 60.
Six billion.
Billion.
You were thinking millions.
Yeah,
and they're only worth 60 million.
Yeah, they're worth 60 billion. Million.
They're so not worth 6 billion. They're not even worth one anymore. I mean,
no,
they... 2 years ago, they could have got $2 billion. They could have no problem, hands down. Right now, Radcliffe put 1.5 in on this.
Yeah,
I cannot believe he did for 25%. No, it just blows my mind. They're not worth that much.
The 90% of their value right now is the name.
Yeah, because even the merchandising is starting to struggle. Apparently,
yeah, the merchandising is starting to struggle. Old Trafford is a money sink at this point instead of value because they haven't repaired it for so long.
Yeah, it's all rusting apart. I mean, you're going to have a bad situation there.
Honestly, I hate to say this because it's one of the most famous grounds in football, but they're probably going to have to tear it down and build something else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hate to say that, but it's been let go too long. Like, if the Glazers had maintained it throughout, it would be fine. It would probably have another 100 years in it, but they just let it go. Yeah,
they didn't do anything.
And at this point, the repairs are so expensive that it's probably not financially feasible to fix it. Best case scenario, we moved to the Etihad for like 3 years while they like 90% rebuild it.
Well, that would be humiliating.
Yeah, but that's our best case scenario because it's the only one that lets it stay.
Yeah, that would be really embarrassing, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would suck so hard.
So how was your day at work, Ryan? Just throw that out of the blue. Moira and I sent you a picture.
Yeah, I saw. That might have been the best part of my day, you know?
Really? Yeah, we were buying another stuffed shark for her collection.
The fact that she has a shark collection makes me incredibly jealous.
Like, it's a hardcore stuffed shark collection, trust me. Like, she's got two of them, which are, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet long alone. Right, plus, I don't know, a dozen other different shapes and sizes, maybe more. Because the one we got today was 3 feet long. Right. So, yeah.
That is an impressive collection.
It is very impressive.
Well, I think it's about time we go into these Dane Flayer comics.
Well,
so, this week it's all Nick Fury and Captain America, Dan's favorites. We're going to do 5 Nick Fury stories and 2 Caps to end this off. We're going to start
3 Caps.
No, 2, 69 and 70, I said.
Oh, we're not doing... We don't have the last part of that arc?
There's two more parts after, I think.
Really?
Yeah, there's two more. No, three more parts. No, wait. Where am I? One,
I
two, three.
Four Furies and then...
Four, five, six. No, the Cap story is long. There's two more parts of the one half of the story, then it goes into another arc right after, I think.
Okay, maybe I read an extra story by mistake this week, but whatever.
Yeah, so anyway, that's part of her collection. Now, there's two others to be added to that that aren't in the pile.
We are going to start off with Strange Tales number 137A story. Ooh, which is yeah. titled this the okay. which is titled The Prize is Earth. Stan Lee writing this bad boy, Jack Kirby, John Severin on art, inks by John Severin. So pretty much John Severin did most of the art is what I'm getting here.
Yeah, layout means that Kirby kind of sketched some positions where he wanted the people in the panel.
Ooh. Cover art by Jack and Severin, or Jack and John. Letters by Artie Simic, July 1965, release date, 12-page story, and I will take this first one. As Hydra is preparing to launch an all-out attack on Earth's nations, Nick Fury is outfitted with a specially designed new shield wardrobe. Meanwhile, a Hydra defector manages to pass a microfilm along the shield with the launch site of a Betatron bomb the Hydra plans to launch. But the agents ultimately die before the information reaches S.H.I.E.L.D. While Fury, Jones, Doug, and Duggan travel to the Balkans, where the trail first started, a meeting at Imperial Industries International... Jeez, that's a stupid name. Imperial Industries International, III, reveals that the company... reveals that the company seems to be a front for Hydra. Agent G, who is Imperial Hydra's daughter, tries to reason with him, but is unable to stop the launching of the Betatron bomb into Earth's atmosphere. To be continued.
Yeah, is Agent G straight?
Triple I, and it doesn't stand for intelligence integrity and.
Yeah. Okay.
That synopsis made that sound like a bad story, but it's actually really.
Yeah, this was
decent.
A really good story.
Oh, was it?
Fury was barely in it.
Well, that helps. That definitely helps.
It is very Hydra-focused.
Not only Isn't Hydra, but all the random unnamed agents trying to get the information to Fury. There's like six pages where you don't see Fury, and it's just these guys in this complicated spy, like, passing the information along and then getting killed by Hydra immediately after they pass the information. And it's cool. Actually a really effective spy comic.
Nice. That's good.
The Fury stuff in this was the weakest part. And that's because it's all setting up gimmicks that will pay off over the rest of the story arc. Because it's, to put it in James Bond terms, it's his visit with Q.
This is before Q tried to start tearing down the Democratic Party. I'm just trying to find your context here. Just need context, nothing more.
Well, you know, he did have to get his adrenochrome topped up.
Okay.
I like that one. I gave it a I don't know what to add there, so I gave it a 3.
I gave it a three as well.
Moving steadily on to
sum up the bum. I don't know.
Is that like, is it like thumbs up, thumbs down, and thumbs in the bum?
Thumb in the bum. I think I just found my new catchphrase. That's not good. That's really not good.
Oh my.
I'm not going to kink shame.
I don't know.
There you go. That's great.
Strange.
You going to be okay, Ryan?
I don't know. Strange Tales number 138A. At least I have a couple days to recover before I have to work again. Sure. Strange Tales number 138A story. This one's titled Sometimes the Good Guys Lose. Stan Lee writes this one. Jack Kirby, John Severin here. All the same inks and cover art with the same team. Sam Rosen is on letters this time. August 1965. Release date, 12-page story. And I will also take this one. Unable to stop... Unable to stop the launching of the Betatron bomb in time, Fury returns to S.H.I.E.L.D. where he discusses options with Tony Stark. Hydra agents are able to infiltrate the building, and they kidnap Fury in front of a helpless Stark, who forgot to bring his attaché case containing his Iron Man suit. Fury is brought face-to-face with Imperial Hydra. To be continued. That's literally the whole synopsis. But that's essentially what happens. So
yeah,
it's a little complicated, but it still works.
That's actually one of the things I really like about this early S.H.I.E.L.D. story, that Tony Stark is a main character, not Iron Man.
Oh, Tony Stank, I know who you mean.
You never see Iron Man, you just see Tony. And once or twice, he'll reference being Iron Man just for continuity's sake. Or, like, guys will attack and get beat up off page by Iron Man. But you only ever see Tony. And it keeps the tone different for this comic while tying it into the MC, to the main Marvel storyline.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Another three for me.
Yeah, this was another three. This is a pretty consistent arc.
Yeah, it is. The Hydra stuff's actually pretty good at the start. I say specifically knowing Hydra gets really convoluted at points in the future.
Yeah. They haven't managed to screw up Hydra too much through the entire section where I am.
Yeah, give it time.
AIM gets... some complicated stuff, but Hydra...
AIM is fucked.
Yes.
AIM's always been... AIM's been fucked for a long time. Strange Tales number 139, A story. The Brave Die Hard, this one's titled. Stanley writes this one. Jack Kirby and Joe Snow on the art. Joe Snow on inks, Jack Kirby, Joe Snow, and Marty Severin on cover art. Artie Simic on letters. September 1965 release date, 12-page story, and Bill can take this one away.
Alright. Imperial Hydra tries to force Nick Fury to reveal where Brainosaur is, the only machine capable of stopping the Betatron bomb in orbit above the Earth. I hate that name.
I knew that Dan was going to have a reaction to that.
It doesn't look like a dinosaur, Dan. It really doesn't.
It's even, yeah, which makes it even worse.
You think it's Saurus?
I have no clue where they got that name from. It's terrible, and it detracts from an otherwise good story.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Wow, this so detracts from such a good story.
Anyway, Fury manages to escape his cell with the help of Agent G, and while they fight to escape, S.H.I.E.L.D. agents burst in, guns blazing. Imperial Hydra reluctantly releases the Tigers, the assassins of Hydra, knowing that it could mean the death of his daughter. And she that's...
shot in the G-spot?
We waited for him, why?
Just asking. Oh, I broke Ryan. I'm sorry.
We should have gotten Moira's shark for this. It would have been more mature.
Yes. Yes, it would have.
Now I'm just waiting for the next podcast episode where we log in. There's just like a shark propped up in your chair with the headphones on.
Oh, I would do that. I totally would.
I know you would. That's why I took it away before you got the idea.
Just figured I'd ask.
No, but despite the poor nomenclature, this was another good episode, or another good issue.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave
this it
one
three stars.
Okay. There we go. Much better.
Ah. Oh, look, okay. It's Deadpool.
That's right.
Okay.
So we go to the next one where G strings us along.
Okay. Time to find the spot. Strange Tales number 140, A story. The end of Hydra. Stan Lee writes this one. Jack Kirby and Don Heck is here. Holy shit. Joe Snow on inks. Jack Kirby and Joe Snow on the cover. Sam Rosen on letters. October 1965 release date. 12-page story. And Dan can take us away for this one.
I will say Joe inking Don was a pretty major downgrade.
Okay. The end of Hydra. Fury and Agent G are able to fight off the Hydra Tigers to meet up with Duggan and Jones and the other agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., helping them in their battle. Meanwhile, Tony Stank personally pilots the Brainosaur into orbit and is able to deactivate the Betatron bomb. Okay, that's a lot of alliteration. Imperial Hydra, half-crazed over the defection of his daughter, climbs up to the Imperial Industries International, revealing that he is Leslie Farrington's secretary, Arnold Brown. The issue ends as he is about to press the destruct button that will blow up Hydra's base and Fury and all who are still in it.
Yeah, so the thing about the secretary, they've been intercutting the previous issues with some high-powered business meeting, and it was revealed that someone in the meeting was Imperial Hydra. But you didn't know who until that point, so that's the point of the reveal there.
And they lead you on that it's the guy holding the meeting, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's
they lead you on that it's Farrington himself.
It's the guy on the side who's like the bitch of the group.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I did like the cover in that one. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it's a decent cover.
Oh.
And that was another 3 for me.
Yeah, that was another 3.
I'm not even going to say it out loud.
That's what I was saying. They've started with this title to get the trick of not doing too much for a 10-pager.
Funny that.
Well, let's move on to the last
thing. Very little for the 30 pagers.
Yeah. I mean, 30 pagers are almost always disappointing.
True. Let's move on to the last Nick Fury for the day as we go to issue 141, A Story, Operation Brain Blast. And this Jack Kirby is doing art by himself apparently this time while Frank Giacola is on ink, so he probably pulled some weight. They do the cover together, Sam Rosen on letters, November 1965, release date, 12-page story, and Dan will take this out of the park.
I'm going to knock this right out of the park. Okay, Operation Brain Blast. As the Hydra agents are being rounded up by S.H.I.E.L.D., Fury, Agent G, Dum-Dum, and Jones break through the steel door that leads to the building above. Meanwhile, Imperial Hydra, who was revealed to be Arnold Brown in the last issue, hesitates with his finger in his bum over his self-destruct button, thinking that his daughter will be killed in the blast. Two Hydra agents, in their haste to escape, shoot, and kill Brown, despite his claims that he is their leader, the others dash in, and Agent G grieves over her father's body. With emerging from Fury, she escapes, and he returns to S.H.I.E.L.D. Once there, he unwittingly is part of an experiment conducted by the newly created ESP division of S.H.I.E.L.D. Thousands of miles away, a former agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is woken as he senses the telepathic minds behind Operation Brain Blast. The man uses his mind to locate a prisoner called the Fixer, who is using his talents to break out of jail. The man realizes that if they work together as a team, they'd be able to rule the world. Back at S.H.I.E.L.D., Back at S.H.I.E.L.D., it is explained that Operation Brain Blast is trying to find a defense against mind readers, and Fury is told about the ex-S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and the power he has.
Yeah, this was very much a transitionary issue.
Yeah, it's ending the Hydra stuff, but also starting the next little arc.
They did some really good stuff in this issue, though. Like, I love the two Hydra agents confronting Imperial Hydra, and he's trying to sell them that he's Imperial Hydra, and they're just like, well, how do we know that? We never saw your face, and Imperial Hydra is a lot bigger, and he's like, yeah, I want it to look impressive, so I padded my costume, and they completely don't believe him and just shoot him.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you cane yourself.
Yeah. That was good. Yep. Fury letting Agent Chi go was good, although I don't think Marvel is consistent on that. I'm pretty sure the next time she shows up, she's just Witch Shield.
Oh, that's good of her.
They just, like, completely forgot that Fury let her go. But at this point, that setup's pretty good for setting something in motion for the future. The reveal of Mantello and the Fixer is good. Unfortunately, Mantello? Operation Brain Blast is not. Because the synopsis glossed over it. But the experiment Fury was unwittingly part of was the scientist in charge of Operation Brain Blast got a bunch of guys to shoot Fury and then had the psychic psychically message him so that he'd be on his guard and not get shot. But if it didn't work, he just assassinated his boss.
Huh. Okay. And we wouldn't have to tolerate any more of these stupid Fury stories?
Well, no, it would probably just be an LMD because, I mean, Nick Fury gets killed a lot and it never sticks, but...
Yeah, I know. Trust me. We know.
Well, moving on into some Captain America.
We should probably give our ratings for this issue before we move on.
I suppose we could. I mean, it's just a number 3, so...
Yeah, it's another 3 for me, too, but this was a less enthusiastic 3.
It was a 3 that came early. Anyway.
It's like premature ejaculation, eh? That's
it's
exactly
like the Orange Cassidy of 3s.
Yeah. Tales of
suspense. That's what happens when you get a thumb up the bum.
Tales of Suspense, number 69, Beast Away. This one's titled Midnight in Greymoor Castle.
Yeah, otherwise known as Reach Around. Sorry.
Written by Stan Lee. Art by Jack Kirby. Inks by Dick Guyers. Jack Kirby, Don Heck on the cover. Artie Simic on letters. June 1965 release date, 10-page story. And Bill will take us away.
Alright. In a laboratory inside Greymoor Castle, the bitter Dr. Rawlings has been hired by the Nazis to construct a device which would shrink Captain America and his partner Bucky down to microscopic size. How did those Nazis get to a British castle? Don't ask so many questions.
Yeah, because the old Greymoor ain't what she used to be.
Having shown his
Nazis... The Glazers Nazi... didn't pay.
Sorry.
No, why did I come back?
Oh, poor Bill.
Having shown his Nazi employers the success of his invention by testing it on dummies of the two heroes, the Nazis are pleased. Chastised by his sister for helping out the enemy, the doctor reveals that the reason why he has decided to work for the Nazis is for revenge on the world over the loss of his hand and the opportunities that passed him by because of his loss of limb. Elsewhere in Britain, Sergeant Duffy's U.S. military force is stationed and preparing for operations against the Nazi opposition on British soil. Among the troops are... Okay, that's wrong. They're not preparing for operations against Nazis in Britain. They're preparing for a mission in France. Among the troops are Steve, Captain America Rogers, and Bucky Barnes. While Steve is on a mission in his civilian guise, their base is attacked by the Nazis, prompting Bucky to change into his costume guise. However, he is captured in combat and taken to Dr. Rawlings' castle. The mission is the mission in France that they were training for. Elsewhere, Steve's unit is attempting to occupy Nazi-occupied France, and Steve stumbles upon a communication from the Nazis informing the Red Skull that they had captured Bucky and transported him to Greymoor Castle for disposal. Changing into Captain America, Steve races back to Britain, stealing a lift aboard a Nazi fighter plane. As he races to Greymoor Castle, Rawlings prepares to bathe Bucky in the Z-Ray experiment, ignoring his sister's warnings that the Nazis will eventually betray him.
Those vile Nazis.
So despite
if you can't trust a Nazi, who can you trust?
I know, right? It's terrible, really.
So, this story was fine.
The synopsis was a little fucked up. But...
yeah, the synopsis didn't really know what was going on.
It doesn't really get the point across clearly that Bucky's left behind by Steve on purpose because Inna's told to take care of anything that pops up because Steve doesn't want him on the mission and blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's not that Steve doesn't want him on the mission. It's that they're literally going to war and you can't take a teenage camp mascot to war.
Well, Bucky wants to go, but I mean, Steve doesn't
let him. Yeah, Bucky's like 14.
I know.
They're not going to take a 14-year-old on a military mission in occupied France.
Oh, shit. That was... What did I actually give that before I say anything?
A hard pass?
Yeah, it wasn't that good. I gave it a 2.
I gave it a 3, but it was a low 3.
I didn't think this was a good start to this arc. I will say the arc gets better for an issue or two, but I forget if this is 3 or 4 long, because it goes right into the next one at the same time.
It's 3 long, and then it goes into the sleepers.
Yeah, because it's like 7
altogether.
That's why
I was confused about
8.
What issues we were covering today, because I thought we went up to the end of this arc.
Yeah, no, I just couldn't. I don't go higher than 7, so I couldn't fit it in.
Fair enough. Yeah, I lost count on how many issues we had done. But yeah,
okay, fine. I'm trying.
I didn't even hear what you said.
Good. Good. Keep on going.
Yeah, sure. Tales of Suspense number 70, Beast Boy. If this be treason, Stan Lee writing, Jack Kirby and George Cheska on art. Jack Kirby and Joe Sanoa on cover art, Sam Rosen on letters, July 1965 release date, 10-page story, and Bill to take us away. Also, right. This cover is a lot better.
The cover's a lot better, but the George Cheska art is a major downgrade.
Yeah, George Cheska kind of sucks, but whatever.
It's extremely early Golden Age, which is fitting because that's when he got most of his credits. Anyway, in order to save Bucky from Dr. Rawlings, who is about to experiment on the young ward in Greymoor Castle in England, Captain America is forced to steal a Nazi fighter plane to fly from France to Britain to avoid being shot down by his fellow allies. Meanwhile, the Nazis return to Greymoor Castle and soon betray Dr. Rawlings in order to use Bucky as bait to kill Captain America. When Cap finally arrives at the castle, the trap is spoiled by Rawlings' sister Celia, who warns Cap. The star-spangled hero then battles an army of Nazis wearing medieval armor. Okay, that makes it sound way stupider than it actually is. They disguise themselves as the knights on display in the entranceway of the castle, and then all attack him when he walked into the room. Although
yeah, that's
he
way less stupid.
I mean, at least there's a reason why they're wearing medieval armor instead of just, hey, it would be cool to draw Nazis in medieval armor. Although he gains the upper hand, he and the hostages are knocked out by gas. While in France, the U.S. Army is forced to fall back to their position under positions against the Nazis. When Steve Rogers is unaccounted for, Sergeant Duffy believes that Rogers has deserted his post. While back in England, the Nazis unveil their plot to launch a V-2 rocket on British soil in an attempt to destroy the city of London. And what to find out whether that works, you'll have to come back next week, because this is the last issue we're covering this week.
Yeah, get fucked. Yeah. Cliffhanger, bitches.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean...
tortured you enough. Are you ready to talk?
I like that one more. I gave this one a 3. Yeah.
They were definitely setting stuff up for the future that never gets paid off here.
Yeah, this actually kind of looks promising, but...
Yeah, like the Rogers desertion subplot that they set up here...
That's actually a really good story note.
Yeah, they clearly intended to keep writing World War II stories past this arc at the point they wrote this, because it never pays off, because there's the next issue that ends this arc, and then we're back to present-day Captain America.
Which is overall for the better. But
it's for the better, but it's kind of unfortunate that I never got to see where they were going with that.
It was the best part of these whole World War II.
Yeah, stories. Like they were actually starting to do something interesting with it, and it never got paid off. The rest of this was just a routine, basically Golden Age punch Nazi story.
A lot of it's very on the nose and blah, 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 with the whole sister-brother dynamic and all that stuff and blah, 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 so.
Yeah, this is clearly clinging to the Golden Age tropes a lot. But, gave it 3 stars because it's fine. Like, there was nothing bad here.
Yeah.
Nothing interesting either.
Besides the desertion aspect.
Yes, which doesn't pay off, so. And unfortunately, with the 2 arcs running back to back, you know it doesn't pay off pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
Boring.
Dan's face at the start when you were reading the synopsis was killing me. Dan looks so unimpressed.
It was boring.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to this arc other than the version stuff.
These early cop stories have almost put me on Dan's side of the fence.
Yeah. Well, I've said all along, it doesn't get going till after the first Sleepers arc.
Wow.
I thought Cap was terrible up until this point, reading through the Order. Like, I knew I liked modern Cap, but early Cap I thought was absolutely terrible until I got to the arc after the Sleepers.
Wow.
Which I haven't read yet, so I don't know.
It introduces a lot of the key elements of Captain America's mythos. Like, that's where Sharon Carter first gets introduced.
I have read it. Never mind.
Yeah, and it starts connecting with S.H.I.E.L.D. and he actually gets a supporting cast, so some interesting stuff can actually happen.
Well, I mean, supporting cast do tend to help. That's why Spider-Man's the best title.
Yeah, as a general rule, you can tell how good a comic's going to be just by how many people are in the supporting cast. If there's a lot of stories outside of just them being a superhero, it's probably going to be fairly entertaining. If it's just like them as the hero and maybe one other person, it's probably going to be pretty dull.
That's why Ragman never caught on.
Single tier.
Dan regrets showing up today now.
Oh, in so many ways. So many ways.
Oh, I guess we'll talk about what we'll cover next week. I mean, it's all Captain America.
More
so.
Crap.
Yeah, it's all Captain America, like I just said.
More crap and leave it at that. They'll know what you mean.
Issue 71 through 76 of Tales of Suspense B-Stories. So it's all Cap all the time next week.
God, I hope I'm working next week.
Dan is going to call in sick.
No. No, Dan is going to offer to fill someone's shift out. Yeah, anybody need a shift covered Friday night?
Yeah, it's not like you're getting paid for this. So.
That's true. That's true. Oh, I pay for it in so many ways, though. Oh dear, 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 dear.
There's only it's only so often we get the X-Men's.
That's right. That's right. Because you hate me, isn't it? You do, don't you?
So we're giving Dan the locust, right? It's an X-Men. You like X-Men.
Oh. Well, it's hard not to like the X-Men because all the rest of the stuff is cool. Just saying.
Oh, shit.
Come on. Talk here, guys. Silence is deafening.
I don't really got
podcast,
nothing.
Podcast people talk.
Don't really got nothing new to work with.
I just wanted to point out that the X-Men I was referencing is number 24.
It's hard to talk sense with somebody who hates Spider-Man.
Join us next week when I cover X-Men number 24.
With its nice 1.87 rating.
Ooh, so it's a good one.
Oh, it's there's a reason I keep referencing the Locust as everything wrong with early X-Men.
Well, this could be a treat and a half.
Well,
it can't be any worse than the crap we covered tonight.
That sounds seriously like a challenge. I have faith in X-Men's ability to meet it.
Hey, we covered the early Hulk stuff. Okay? It doesn't get any worse than that.
Yeah, probably until Jack Kirby comes back. And they let him write.
Giant Man. Some of the just Giant Mans were at the bottom of the...
Bottom of the pickle barrel?
Bottom of the fucking...
Yeah,
cookie jar.
I don't know. I think I actually hated early Hulk more.
Honestly, I'd never really read early Hulk, and it was incredibly disappointing.
Well, it's definitely
disappointing. I had no idea how it ever caught on.
I can't believe, honestly, they went back to Hulk after that.
Yeah.
Stanley really liked this Jekyll and Hyde idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they got away with it, was that he kept the Hulk in other books and ironed out the bugs.
Yeah, it was just so bad. So, yeah, we'll go with the Locusts.
At least we had issue six. Fuck. Yeah. Well, Bill and I may do some extra recording, maybe. Maybe
not
the
tonight,
wrestling.
Maybe tomorrow.
Well, not tonight. I just meant this weekend, but...
Yeah, so we might be able to do another WCW this weekend.
Yeah, so the wrestling might return, so stay tuned
I don't think we should do an AEW-WWE crossover this week, because with me being sick, I haven't had a chance to pre-book anything.
The stream's easier on you, so...
Yeah.
I kind of looking more forward to that anyway, so stay tuned for that, hopefully, tomorrow. Well, whenever this is uploaded, this will get uploaded probably tonight or tomorrow, so... but yeah, anyways, we are available on YouTube, so give us a like, subscribe, comment, and share if you'd like to, if you're watching on there. We're also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and if you're on Spotify, click that good old poll and tell us why you love the Nazis so much. I don't know where I was going.
I mean, with modern political environment, I'd say approximately 1/3 of people will say yes.
Yeah, probably. Alrighty.
Anyways, we will see you on the next episode. Dan is definitely going to be here. Don't worry about it. And peace out.